So only one of them's coming back.
Well, I haven't had PR about the other one. But Luke Friend.
Yeah, yeah.
I've already had PR saying, like, can we get him back on the
Which
show?
Which one was he? Which one out of the two of them was that?
I think
that?
He was one with the dread one. Yeah, the dread one, yeah.
Yeah. I liked them both, actually.
Yeah, both really good. But
yeah. So not the one I was chatting about rugby league to.
No, the other one.
Other one.
Also, another person coming back in the new year. Had an email from him, Will Attenborough. Another friend of the show, yeah.
You said that you hadn't been able to get in touch with him.
I had emailed him and then he hadn't replied. But he'd replied today and said that he's honoured. He'd love to come back on.
Honoured.
And he's going to talk about a podcast that he mentioned ages ago when he came on the show.
Tell him he's going to talk about whatever I decide we're talking about.
I think he knows that. He knows it well enough now. That when he
comes I will talk about it. It's like, well, you'll talk about what I allow you to talk about, mate.
Yeah, true.
Don't come swanning in here with your famous granddad or whatever it was. Doing all the nature and that.
Oh, that reminds me. Lawrence Fox was going to set you up with Amelia Fox, wasn't he?
Who is?
Lawrence Fox, when he came, he said he thought you'd be lovely for
Amelia.
Oh, yeah,
he did, didn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, did say that. When you said, well, I've got a text. You got a text from Chrissy Hynde, didn't he? And you were like, I've got a text from Amelia. And he went, oh, I think you'd be lovely for Amelia.
Yeah, I've not heard nothing.
I think you'll find on next week's show, it's a recurring theme of people that we thought would give us some contact with someone, like, for instance, Martin Scorsese, but hasn't delivered.
Yeah, never heard nothing back from Scorsese. Spoiler alert.
Well, it wasn't going to be him. It was going to be another guest.
I got an email from Thingy, though, didn't I?
Thingy.
Jessica
Boob.
What's her name?
Ellaby.
Jessica Ellaby.
Yes.
I've sorted that out now.
Okay.
So don't worry, when you're in next week's show, you'll hear me going to a panic because I've not emailed someone back.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry when you hear that, because I have done now.
It's all sorted.
This is where the timeline gets all fucked.
Yeah, it's gone weird, but it's fine. We'll
why,
do it.
Natalie?
Yes.
Why? Well, that's actually my question. Why does it say Sonic Boom?
Yeah.
On my screen, and why does it say purse stolen?
Well, these are two things that happened.
Okay, have you had your purse stolen?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Who stole your purse?
I don't know. If I knew that, I'd get it back, wouldn't I? It was in a supermarket.
Stole your purse in a supermarket?
I know, outrageous, right?
Did they mug you?
Not technically, no, they didn't mug. I was a bit. No, I was going to say I'm an idiot.
You dropped your purse in a supermarket.
No, no. But someone did steal rob it off me. It was before what? I've done this a million times.
Pickpocket?
No.
Open bag?
I'm going to sound so dumb. It was in the basket. Chucking things in my trolley.
What?
Have my purse. I've done this so many times when I'm in a hurry. I went to go and pay and it just wasn't there. And I thought, you know, when you have that panic and you think.
That is your fault.
Obviously. Well, it's not my fault that someone stole it off me, is it? I didn't make them do that.
Yeah.
Oh, right, so it's not even their fault that they're a thief.
No. It's entrapment.
Oh, my God. Well, it's fine. I wanted a new purse anyway and some new store cards.
Oh, why would you do that?
I've done it so many times. Never had a problem with it. It's never been a thing. But
that's
I have
saying I don't lock my door. I've done it so many times and never had a problem with it.
Until
the day they cleaned me out.
So now I won't do it again. So I've learnt my lesson.
You can't do it again. You haven't got a purse.
I do have a new purse. I mean, my purse for a few days was an envelope from HSBC.
Was the cash in it?
Minimal cash. Because I don't like...
What's minimal by your standards, though?
A couple of grand, you know.
£4,000.
No, £4. About £4.
£4, okay.
But I have been, like, slightly off the grid a little bit with the no cards. It's really weird not having a card.
Is it fun?
No, it's not fun. Because you don't know how much you're going to need or how much you're going to spend... When you go anywhere, like I went to Sainsbury's because I'm not going because they didn't rob me. But I only had like 20 quid.
I can't make head and tail of this conversation. Say all of that.
They weren't the robbers. Sainsbury's, different supermarket I got robbed in.
So you're saying it was a supermarket that robbed you?
Yeah, it was a supermarket. Well, it wasn't literally the supermarket.
What supermarket were you in?
No, it's my local Morrison's, but it wasn't them.
Grocers from Yorkshire.
Are they?
Yeah, that's it.
So that was weird just not having a car.
So you got robbed in your Morrison's.
Yeah, I know.
But surely there are CCTV to fuck in there.
Well, they didn't see anything, apparently. So I must have been in the blind spot in the supermarket where there's no cameras.
It should be. I bet everywhere's covered in a supermarket.
I don't know. It's fine. I've got over it now.
That, to me, sounds like it might be an inside job.
Do you think?
Yeah. If they're not forthcoming with CCTV, you're not telling me that a supermarket, a big supermarket, Morrison's, isn't covered in CCTV.
Okay.
Well, I don't believe that. If it is true, which Morrison's is it?
Farmers Green.
Get down there, do you shoplifting?
Don't.
Struggling at Christmas.
It's Christmas time.
Get out Morrison's, Palmer's Green. Well, no CCTV, mate.
They didn't get
fill your boots and your pockets.
But don't do it to me again. but they didn't get anything on my card because I stopped it straight away. Went to the bank. They were like, it's done. So all they really got was £4 and like a boots card off me.
On a purse, though.
They did get a purse, actually.
Any emotional attachment to the purse?
Yeah, a little bit. I've just had it for a long time. But, you know.
That's not emotional attachment.
New purses. like my dying nana gave it to me.
Is that true?
No.
You know when I had my wallet stolen when I did Skins?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
When I got burgled.
Burgled.
Whilst filming Skins.
Oh, yeah, because all the cast did,
didn't
they?
Oh, yeah, the lot, yeah,
everyone.
The saddest thing about that for me was that the wallet that they took of mine was my granddad's wallet.
Oh, no, that is
But I think it was a bit daft of me to use it. Do you know what I mean? To actually use it rather than just keep it. Mm. Yeah, it was my granddad's wallet and they took it.
I think sentimental things. Just leave my home.
Oh, sorry, I thought you were going to expand on that. I think sentimental things like this.
You know what's really annoying is I've got a credit card. Never, ever, ever used it. It's for emergency use only. And I've always left it at home because I thought, just in case something happens, I've got a backup emergency credit card. But for some reason that week,
took it out.
I thought, you know, what if my car got blocked? I wouldn't have any form of, any form to get money. So let me put it back in my purse. That is the week that my purse gets looted.
Really? Didn't we get a credit card at the same time?
We did, yeah.
We'd never had credit cards before.
No, we never had a credit card.
So yours has been robbed.
Yeah, it's gone already. It's already gone.
You've never used it. I've used mine now.
I don't really want to.
I did that grown-up thing where you take a balance from something else and put it onto that. I did that thing for a better APR.
That is smart.
I did that. It got stopped immediately.
Oh.
And then they said, we're going to phone you with a number. And then they tried to find my home phone, which I don't have a phone.
Okay.
But obviously there's a number to the house. And then I had to ring the fraud control and all that. And
why did they? They thought it was unusual activity.
I guess it was a lot of money, and I guess because it's not been used before.
Yeah.
So.
There we go. That's the credit card story.
But I've still got it. I can show it you.
I mean, if anyone listening.
Got it in my wallet, yeah.
Have you got memories of your credit cards that you'd like to get in touch with the show with? At Free Bar Radio. There. Yeah, there he is. There's Ian's credit card. Yep. I'd like to know credit card stories.
Seen that. Yeah.
0330-223-0200.
Come on, it's Christmas. Don't remember credit card stories. What is it?
I'm saying the number wrong. 0330-223-0200. I said
0200.
Yeah, but then that it should be 00.
I would go 0330. What is it again?
223-0200.
That's how I would say it.
But then why have you gone O for all the others and not 00 on the end?
Because there's no 100 in it.
That's a good point. Does it not sound wrong?
You can't
though?
Go 100, take away 10.
0.
330-223.
Could go zeros.
0330-223-0200. They won't call. They won't call
now. I like some credit card memories.
It's a gaunt existence,
also,
this show.
Also, there was a sonic boom in my area yesterday.
Tell me about that.
I did wake up at 4 a.m.
I don't know what it is.
I don't actually even know what it is. Julia said, would you hear the sonic boom? When I heard something that made my bedroom rattle. Some plane flying over.
Well, I told you in next week's show that I woke up at 4:38 this morning.
Maybe you heard the sonic boom too. That was yesterday.
I don't recall there being a boom.
Yesterday.
And just couldn't get back to sleep. So I've been up since 4:38. And I went to bed at 1. So I've not had enough sleep at all.
That is really annoying when you go to bed quite anything. I need to be awake at this time.
Thought I'd done well.
You just lie there all night, don't you? Thinking I'm quite pissed off actually that I can't sleep when I'm really tired.
I read a book for a bit.
That didn't help at all.
Not really.
Mm. Pop some Enya on?
Pop some...
Enya on.
No, I had... I bought a speaker recently.
Okay.
Really good speaker. It's a Bluetooth speaker. And I've started playing my noises on that at night.
What's your noises?
I have, like, Nature Space app.
So you hear, like, birds and...
I could have birds if I wanted.
Lions.
I've got this. Interesting. That's what it's like sleeping with me.
That sounds like an egg being fried.
No, it's an umbrella. It's rain on an umbrella.
Oh, all right.
This one is treehouse rain. Get ready for this.
That would be so annoying here.
All night long, mate.
Jesus Christ.
This is camping in the rain.
It's the same thing.
Really similar, isn't it?
What's the difference?
Through the speaker, it does sound different.
Oh, my God.
And this next one is sheltered. This one is called.
It's the same thing. Oh, slightly, like they're just a bit quieter. It's not
and
much
it does
difference.
Thunder in as well, that one.
Oh, I like a bit of thunder at night.
Yeah. But you can have like morning ones as well if you want.
Yeah, sure, like what? Morning rain.
Is that? That's horrible, isn't it?
What is it? Is it lawnmower?
Ultraviolets, that's called.
No.
It's not great radio, this, is it?
Not? It's not great sound either.
Get ready for this one.
No. None of this would make me get to sleep. Is that a goat?
That sounds like a bloke doing it, doesn't it?
We had a man on the show once that lived as a goat.
I remember that.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I do, yeah.
What we could do, maybe in future, we could just play this in the background while we're broadcasting and pretend we're doing it like an OB outside broadcast.
Oh, right, just in a field. Oh, there goes another goat.
Or pretend we're doing one underwater, Nat.
Yeah, yeah.
Scuba diving.
Sounds ridiculous.
No, you can't talk underwater. Oh.
Okay. I don't know how you talk underwater.
There you go. There's
I want one
sounds.
Of your arrows. I need one of your arrows.
Maybe you've got some sounds. Give us a call.
Yeah, what's your
favourite
sound?
That number was before.
Can you mimic
a
goat?
Yeah.
Can you
do a ghost?
A ghost or
can
a goat?
A ghost?
Ghost goat.
Could you do? Could you just do sound effects down like the bloke out of Police Academy?
Academy, Michael Winslow. Yeah.
Yeah, Michael Winslow. Do it like that.
Can you do some bacon frying? That's what I'd like to hear.
I'm tired now. You can tell me off on air.
She's smiling. She's
What's
smiling.
The matter? Julian's just come through from the other office. What's up?
Hi.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Oh.
I think we're getting near Christmas kiss time.
Baby dumb. I'm not a dweeb. I'm just a sucker with no help.
Yep.
Julia and I were just saying we both love that song.
There's no one there.
Julia's not, she's left the studio now. I've just made her up.
Are you imagining that?
I was just pointing to her like she was Julia? Next to me. You know Julia, she's the woman you're flirting with on Twitter.
I'm not flirting, she's flirting with me, I'm not flirting. I just wrote a thing and then she started flirting.
It's been responded back. It's been Hi Ian, that was brave, brackets
Julia. Julia, kiss, kiss.
No, well, implied no kisses. Kisses. No kisses.
Implied
there.
Kisses.
Right, okay.
Are there, I think.
Do you want to have a little, do you want to write something back?
No, I want to read Joseph's.
Rude.
Joseph has said, are Nat sized credit cards like those giant jacks? That's a good point, actually. So if you've got that in your basket, then of course someone's going to see that. But I don't know how they then got it out of the shop.
Well, it's
maybe two of them carried it.
It's difficult. I think it was a double team thing.
Also, Joseph, I thought you were driving.
No, no, he's not saying he's driving. He's saying he's taking
drive.
Us at six somewhere is implied. For he's taking us on a long journey somewhere. We're accompanying him. That's what he said.
What?
He's not driving at the moment. You're accompanying me on a long drive today.
Yes, yeah, so that means that he's listening to the show on a long
drive. Oh, I thought we had sorted out that it meant he's going to...
No, that was a joke. I was doing that.
Oh, I thought for real. I was ready to go.
No. I don't think he's actually saying he's going to come and get us.
Well, I could do the lift home if you're offering, Joseph.
I think he is just saying... Well, I've only got a train halfway home.
Oh, good. They've got to get your car and drive the other bit. I thought you said you were going out for drinks later.
£8 the parking. Was he going to give it me that or not?
No, I haven't got any. As you know, I don't have a lot. I don't have any cash on me. Discussed this, haven't we?
I'll take credit. I'll take four now.
Right.
Four later. Ginger Johnson's arrived. Look, says it in purple.
Has arrived.
What do we do about that?
Well, we'll get her into the studio.
Because they're due on at 4:30.
Yeah. But it's
now 4:27.
Well, I think this is perfect timing to pop something on.
We've hardly spoken, though, really.
We had 15 minutes of just doing Who Let the Dogs Out.
That was good, though. Can we submit that to Sony Awards? Is that a thing?
Sadly,
anymore?
I don't think it's a thing anymore. But maybe it's changed its name to something else.
It's a shame that we're not on BBC Radio, because then we could just give ourselves awards.
Yeah. Do they do that?
Does that not baffle you?
Do they
do it every year?
A BBC Awards?
Awards.
BBC Radio Awards.
That are in-house.
I don't know about that.
They just give themselves awards?
Well, you know. Is it like the best BBC presenter of the year?
I don't know, but it's just like... It is a bit like...
Let's do the...
Your mum's sending you a Valentine's card, isn't it? It's like...
Who's the best... All right, here's the FUBAR. Who's the best FUBAR presenter of the year?
Me?
Yes.
Always.
What do you win? Here's a tissue.
Thank you. What else? What else can I win?
The best freestyle...
What?
You did that at the top of the show with a bit of Who Let the Dogs Out.
Yep.
You did a mashup. So best freestyle of the year.
Nominations
present.
Are?
Ian Boldsworth.
Joey Page.
Joe Page. And Nick Helm.
Yep. The winner is?
Ian Boldsworth.
Thank you. Suck on that, Helm and Page.
He's probably asleep.
And winning. Well, that'll be easier to get him to do it then, won't it? FUBAR Radio. This is, of course, the time of the day when we have a bit of jaw wobble.
What?
And Bill Laswell with Fanfare for Phenomena. It's a new weekly segment where we just take a little bit of time out from the fun and madness. It's my I've listened to Jar Wobble and Bill Laswell with their track Fanfare for Phenomena. There are 5 minutes and 12 seconds left of the song. Enjoy. course, we have Ginger Johnson coming up in the studio. Should be in right now, but we're just enjoying the pleasing sounds of Jar Wobble and Bill Laswell. Fanfare for Phenomena. Again, that. Maybe sit back, have a relax, take some nice deep breaths, relax from your day as we enjoy the pleasing sounds of Jar Wobble and Bill Laswell, Fanfare for Phenomena. That's not the end. That isn't the end. Please don't panic. That's not the end. There's still 3 minutes and 49 seconds left. Jar Wobble. Bill Laswell. With the soothing, melodic notes together.
Please.
Relax. Don't listen to the hysterical lady. Just listen instead to Fanfare. For Phenomena. Don't worry if you've been put off by that ruckus in the background. That's a guest arriving. That's Ginger Johnson's just arrived in the studio. However, we're all a bit busy at the moment, having a relaxing time as we listen to Jar Wobble and Bill Laswell with Fanfare for Phenomena. There's a debate going on in the studio that it's not very fanfare-y, is what Nat's just said, but I think you'll agree.
What did you just call me?
Regardless. Can we not do double entendres when we're all trying to relax and listen to Fanfare
for Phenomena? For God's sake.
Of course, by Jar Wobble, coming up on the show later on, and Bill Laswell, not coming up.
Again, I can't believe it.
There we go. Bit of calm.
Is that it?
As we all sit back and enjoy Jar Wobble and Bill Laswell with Fanfare for Phenomena. That's what it's called.
I know, but it's the way you're saying it.
Why do you want me to say it?
Fanfare for Phenomena. That's how you're saying it.
I'm now listening to Jar Wobble and Bill Laswell.
I've ruined my eyeliner now, so that's terrible.
Fanfare for Phenomena.
Okay.
Advised by my producer to come out of this track
long,
early.
It's a long one, isn't it?
But there's only 48 seconds left.
So okay, fine.
Relax for 48 seconds. 43 now. As we listen to Jar Wobble and Bill Laswell with Fanfare for Phenomena. Of course, Jar Wobble and Bill Laswell with, let's have a look,
Fanfare. Come on, we've said it 50 times.
For Fanamina. We're joined now by Ginger Johnson in the studio, talking about her show, Escape from Planet Trash, at the Pleasance Theatre until the 22nd of December.
Yes, that's right.
Oh. How's that? Now, is it your fault?
My bad.
Hello, I am here. Still yes, early. Hi, hello.
Now, is it your fault that there's a big octopus outside?
Yes, that's exactly my fault, yes.
What's that about?
Just to frighten you, sweetheart.
It sort of worked.
Just specifically to frighten you into the state of mind where you wanted to listen to Fanfare.
For
whatever the second word of that
Fenomena.
Fenomena. At that particular volume, that's why we did it.
Yeah. Did you not like that?
Oh no, I think it's wonderful.
I
used to be a trombone in a past life, like not a trombone player, like an actual trombone.
You were a trombone. Oh.
Yes, yeah. I was regressed a few years ago.
I know someone that was a bugle boy that was regressed and
really?
Was a bugle boy, and he came to that conclusion because he looked in his hand when he was regressed and saw a bugle. So he came to the conclusion that he was in a marching band.
I was just put to sleep by a very nice man, and when I woke up, I had the real feeling of being in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out. I must have been a trombone.
I was going to ask you, were you genuinely regressed then?
Yes, it was Derek Acora's stepsister.
I find it really interesting, regression. There's a thing. I don't believe in it at all.
No, absolutely not. It's bullshit.
Yeah, innit? Absolute fucking nonsense. Yeah, it really is. What do you think, Nat? Have you ever been regressed?
No, I quite liked you, though. I'd like to know what I was.
Well, you wouldn't find out.
Well, what they would tell me, wouldn't they?
What?
No, you have to discover it for yourself.
Oh, like...
You get taken on a mystical journey through your past lives.
Oh. They'll hypnotise you.
I can't be hypnotised. We've learnt that, haven't we?
You might get quite distressed.
Well, it might be something great. I might have been Marilyn Monroe or something. I don't know.
You might have been Marilyn Monroe.
Well, what? I don't know when she died, but it's possible, right?
And what year were you born?
79.
Well, that means then, if you were Marilyn Monroe, in between times, you were also a child that died. You'd have had to have been.
You didn't need to take an Aryan, I'm sorry.
You'd have had to have been.
If
you believe in reincarnation, then Marilyn Monroe died. I think it was 62,
I don't know, something like that.
It was. But there would have been an interim period there between you being born where you would have to have been a life that died.
But not necessarily a child. Could have been some purple sprout and broccoli.
Exactly,
or
right.
A very friendly hamster.
Exactly.
Or
a trombone.
An arsehole of a trombone. Yeah.
I was a bit disappointed when I found out that that wasn't a real octopus when I came in.
Sorry.
Because when you come into where the studio is at the moment, next to the Pleasance Theatre now has, what do you call them?
Like tentacles.
Inflatable tentacles.
Yeah, giant tentacles.
Huge ones.
Yeah.
And I was actually disappointed because I thought a giant squid might have actually been there and I could have got a day off work.
Oh.
Right.
But it turns out it was all pretend.
It's been popular. Another one of our presenters, when he came out, was running over to get photos with it. Get some photos. Looks amazing. Was very excited. But also
it was going to go away in a minute.
No. Well, he was quite stoned.
As if it was going to move onto other waters.
Well, he didn't know. He doesn't know how long it's there for, did he?
That's true.
But also, he was like, we were kind of messing with him because he was pretty stoned. And we were like, it's just appeared now. I can't see anything. He's like, what the hell? What do you mean?
Flashback to a sea life centre.
Okay.
I'd already seen the posters for Escape from Planet Trash. And I think, is it a new production?
Yes, yeah, brand new.
It's brand new.
Written this year by me in the last few months.
So, immediately, here's my take on it.
Tell me. Knowing nothing
about it. I'm not even read your press release.
Well, this'll be insightful.
No, but I'm telling you what my emotional response is to it.
Yes.
That it gave me feelings of Escape from Forbidden Planet.
Yes.
It gave me feelings of Rocky Horror.
Yes.
It gave me feelings of, you know, all those sorts of things, which is a very attractive thing to me. You know, I love stuff like that.
Mm.
And I thought, oh, that looks quite interesting. Mm-hmm. That's a thing. And then the sort of tentacles, and I was like, oh, they're going all out on this. That's really cool.
Yeah.
So is it their Christmas show at the Pleasance, essentially?
It's our Christmas show,
yeah. You did it last year, didn't you, with the Krampus?
Yeah, it's the middle show in a quilogy.
A trilogy
of queer Christmas stories.
Quilogy is the right word, then.
Well, yeah, let's take it.
Quilogy.
Sounds good, sounds quilogy. Right.
I invented that.
Well, I don't know if you...
I believe it was me, sweetheart, and we've got it on record.
Ginger said it.
He didn't even know he'd said it. Gee, sorry. So go on. It's a trilogy?
Yes, so this is the middle one in the trilogy. Last year we did a show called How to Catch a Krampus.
I remember seeing the posters for that and feeling the same thing again.
Yeah.
Arrow Video.
I really love kind of especially 50s, 60s, 70s B-movie culture.
Okay,
it's really interesting. And I think that drag is a really good way into that for audiences. And I don't know, I like the idea that we're doing... I don't like calling them spoofs because I don't think they are spoofs. But it's definitely a pastiche of the different ideas and tropes. So last year it was really Victorian melodrama and music hall.
Yeah.
And it was a lot darker. It was quite scary, actually. And then this year it's more kind of sci-fi. More straight down the line sci-fi, but done by a pile of drag queens. So the more serious our sci-fi becomes, the more nonsensical the show becomes.
There are huge parallels then to Rocky Horror, essentially.
Yeah, absolutely. I love Rocky Horror.
Yes, yeah, same. Yeah. And,
I mean, I don't think you can be a queer person and not love Rocky Horror. Mm. You know, I think a lot of queer people had a real realization in their life when they saw
it. But hasn't there been a kind of rebuttal of it in recent times?
Has there?
I wrote a long thing on Patreon about it recently. Okay. Not that long ago. And I was watching Rocky Horror one night and I thought, I bet some people are annoyed now.
I suppose some people are annoyed about absolutely anything that you go looking for.
Yeah, but you know,
if you want to get annoyed, you'll get annoyed.
Just sweet transvestite and all the changing meanings of words and all that sort of thing, and the idea of lots of things that run through that musical. I can understand people now in a heightened sense of fucking going to say the word of being woke.
Mm-hmm.
That wouldn't necessarily sit right.
Well, I can tell you from my experience as a queer teenager coming from a very small town out in the northeast where there was absolutely no queer visibility whatsoever.
Yeah.
The first time I saw Rocky Horror, I saw a group of characters that were bold and exciting outsiders who were self-determined and had storylines that weren't necessarily about heteronormative relationships and that were pushing the boundaries in something. And I don't know, maybe it hasn't aged well. It's definitely a cult classic. I would have to rewatch. It's interesting you say that. I'd have to rewatch and think about it.
I think it's aged exceptionally well.
Yeah, it's a great story. It's got great songs. It's camp as hell. It's totally irreverent. Mm. It's punk, you know.
And it's kind of depressing. it really is. Once you get over it, and you're like, you go, right, I'm really into this. I really like it. And you start looking deeper into it and the actual traits of the story throughout it. What happens in that show is the hedonist who is being, don't dream it, be it, being whatever they want, is ultimately completely subjugated by authority. But ultimately, his handyman turns, kills him, and says, you know, what's the line that he says at the end where they say, society must be protected.
Mm.
And that's, it's a kind of a depressing idea.
Yeah.
That, you know, to actually be yourself, you are, you know, open to being fucking destroyed.
That's what I was going to say, they're the underdogs like the two that eventually take over. You know, he's been an arsehole at them for a very long time, so he's getting his comeuppance in some ways. Frank's very much an anti-hero. You know, he's the hero of the piece because he's so fabulous and is the lead storyline, you know. But he's not a hero that you would look up to, I don't think. And we have to, when we think about stories and we think about whether things are acceptable within stories, I think that's what you've got to think about. You know, not everybody in your story has to be a hero.
Yeah.
And you can't show both sides of an idea or a conversation about whether people are good or bad if you only have good characters. Like, what's the point in doing that?
Of course. But
you're just preaching to the choir then.
But there are commentators now who would have you go, essentially what they're saying is, you can't have any naughty people in your thing. You can't say,
come to a drag show.
But that is the thing. Do you know what I mean? Where it's like, well, this character's disgusting. This should be banned. And it's like,
well, I think
it's
really,
like, well, they're characters.
I think
they're,
it really, really depends on the context of what you're doing and whether you're punching up or punching down. Who are the targets of the people that you're taking the piss out of in your show or whatever it is that you're making? Who are the people that you're making fun of? And if they are higher on the ladder than you and have punched down on you plenty of times, then that's absolutely fine. They are fair game.
Yeah.
You know? And this is the show is a big open-hearted show. It's actually really the story is really a romance story at the heart of it.
Right.
And we like to look at all different ends of what people think. We've got these characters who are apocalypse tourists that go to horrible places as the apocalypse is happening just to take photos because it makes them feel good about their lives.
Nice.
You know, like drag can be satirical. It has to be satirical and it has to be punk. That's where the drag energy really, really comes from. It comes from, you know, fucking everything off. You know? It comes from subverting people's ideas. That's what drag is. You're subverting ideas of gender and identity just from the very off.
Yeah.
And I think if you get the chance to tell a big story, like we have this lovely chance to do that at the Pleasance, you've got a responsibility to challenge other things at the same time as well.
And you're in the show, right?
Yes, I am.
So how do you go about, so when you're creating, so you created the show also?
Yeah, and I write it and direct it and design it. No one else is going to give me that gig, Ian, so I've got to write it myself, you know? That's the way it goes.
I have a very similar thing in my own life. How much does it annoy you?
How much does it... What, oh, I love it. I write the best part of the show and I take it for myself.
So is that... So when you put together something like that, what's the combat within you between going, well, I want something that promotes me as a performer and promotes me as a creator, but also when you're serving the story as well? Because it is a difficult thing, that, isn't it? It's,
yeah.
Normally it goes the other way. So normally I find whenever I've written something that I'm in, I tend to...
There's a few kind of answers to that question. One, this is really a team show that we do every year. Yeah. Some of the people we've done annually, I think it, I can't remember right now if it's four or five we've done now, and some people have been in them since the very beginning.
Okay.
So we really are a company that work together.
Yeah.
And it's not me entirely that makes the whole thing up. You know, there are, I have a fondness for just leaving blanks in the script and saying, please add a funny line here. Because part of the thing is...
I'm tired.
Well, no, everybody in the show is a performer in their own right.
Okay.
They all work in drag or cabaret or on the stage. They've all got their unique perspective. They all bring something to the team. So it's about giving people the opportunity to shine at something that they're really good at within the format of the show. And also, I make a solo show every year as well. These are kind of my two main projects that I do. So this year, I definitely tried to step back from the story a little bit because it's a big production.
Right.
And that's hard.
Well, it's falling out of the theatre.
that's hard to do when you're inside it all of the time.
Yeah,
so,
of course.
And we've had real fun with the set this year. The set is absolutely ridiculous.
Has it already opened, by the way?
Yeah, we've done 2 weeks now.
Okay, and is it rocking the place?
Yeah, we're having a fucking great time.
Is it? Yeah.
Is that a very, the opening, like when it came out, and there were paparazzi outside and stuff and some
photographers
there? Yeah.
But I miss all of that.
I was inside!
I was
putting my arms on!
I heard it all going up earlier, and I came out and saw some photographers. They were like, this person's coming tonight, or that person.
Photographer's not for us, but someone that was on the Bake Off 4 years ago that just comes and see the show. They're in the sun tomorrow.
What is the audience there? Because like I say, I'm not the sort of person who would necessarily be influenced by quote-unquote advertising.
No.
But certain things do pique my interest, you know, when I go, I just like the design of that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, I know what that design is. I know what that's from. I know what that's...
We get a huge range of people come. We get a lot of... It's a co-production between Sync the Pink, which is a massive queer clubbing bear moth that I've been part of for the last 5 years, but it's more than 10 years old now. I think it's 11 years old now.
I spoke to someone else from that, didn't I?
We have had someone else from Sync the Pink.
I've heard that before.
I think you've had Mahatma Candy, who's also in the show.
Yes, I think so.
I definitely didn't have on this show. I would remember if on this show I'd had
Mahatma Candy.
What was it?
Mahatma Candy.
Mahatma Candy.
Yeah,
right.
Yes.
I would have remembered that in the same way that I recall that drag queen that was on the RuPaul thing.
You clearly don't
Scaredy
recall.
Scaredy Cat.
No. But what was the other one that wasn't on the show?
Vinegar Strokes.
No. What was the other one?
Oh, I can't remember the two
what
that we've had.
One?
Can we talk about me a little bit more, please?
Yeah,
this is the problem. This is why when you say to me, something wrong. This is why when you say to me, oh, I've got a drag queen coming and all that, I go, oh, for fuck's sake. So it's going to be all this, isn't it? it's going to be me, screech, screech, screech. Yes, we'll talk. Right, go on. You talk about you.
Well, you asked us what the audience was like.
I heard you ask that question.
I can't remember.
We get a lot of different people coming. We get people that come from Sync the Pink. We get quite a straightforward theatre audience that come from the Pleasance. So I've really enjoyed introducing them to the joy of one scene. We're trapped in the sewers and we escape from the sewers by climbing through a giant butthole.
Right.
So it's nice to see our classic queer clubbing audience alongside like Mavis and her husband who have come to see Christmas Carol in the previous years and are now faced with a giant puppet of a butthole on stage. That's quite fun.
Do you feel a tangible liberation in that?
Oh, yeah,
within
absolutely.
That room? When you see someone like that, are you like...
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
People... I don't know. I think a lot of people come to it that don't necessarily see a lot of drag the rest of the time. I like to think that when we first started making these Christmas shows, it was because a lot of people that came to Sync the Pink who maybe like clubbing or like being out in bars or clubs or out really late at night, they wanted to be able to share that side of their life with their family. They wanted something that could bring their mum and their mum's friends and their whoever it was along to see the show. So we wanted to make a show that was possible like that so that we could share that culture with people outside of the people that would normally come to our club nights. And it really does do that. You know, we have people that come every... There's one lady in particular that I'm thinking of is definitely in her 80s, and she has the filthiest laugh in the world. And every year she sits on the front row and she cackles through the end. There's nothing you can throw at her, you know? Like, just, absolutely brilliant. And that's what it's for, you know?
She might be like on the turn, though. She might not.
That's not for me to say. She looks very glamorous.
It might be the colours that she likes. You know?
That's fine.
That's okay.
If you've come for movement and colour, there's plenty of that. If you've come for a giant butthole, there's that as well.
Is there a manifesto to this? Do you have an idea with what you're creating here? Because it sounds like you're putting together component parts of a greater thing.
Yeah.
So do you have a goal in sight in terms of what you're creating?
I think
an empire, you know, it sounds like you're an impresario.
I'm kind of one part of a co-production with two big companies, and I've worked with both of those companies for a long time.
Yeah.
But the aim with the shows, really for me, is that, you know, as a queer person, Christmas isn't always a great time, you know.
For why?
A lot of Christmas is tied up in ideas of traditional family,
okay,
which a lot of queer people maybe don't have access to for different reasons.
Yeah.
Or Christmas can be quite a lonely time for people as well. And we wanted to make a queer story. It's really important that they're queer stories that feature queer characters excelling in their lives.
Got you know, okay.
So that you can come and enjoy that and not feel somehow one step apart from it all the time, you know?
Yeah.
And also to be really raucous and put two fingers up to the idea of Christmas, because it's a lot of old shit, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it's nice presents to roll around in tinsel every now and again, you know?
But presents as well.
Yeah, fine.
Think about
not
it.
Not asked.
No, but listen, I don't think you've heard what I said. Presents. I know about all the God stuff and all that, but you also, there's presents in there.
Yeah, I suppose there is. Yeah, yeah.
And that's fine, that doesn't matter.
What do you want for Christmas, Ian?
World peace, I think.
What a lovely present.
Peace.
I'll see if I can organise that.
You just told me you're buying some £200 Lego later, so I think it's more like some bit of Lego.
Pieces of Lego.
World peace.
I'm actually in the world leaders WhatsApp group, so
okay,
I'll text them on,
please
see if we can organise some world peace just for you.
But
sweetheart,
again, like the thing about the Quilogy, whatever we said, make sure they know it's my idea.
I will, yes, I will.
Make sure that I get the proper credit for world peace.
Ginger said it first, and then you came up with it. So, but it's a joint effort, I think.
Listen back to it, Nat. Listen back to it. If I've learned anything by how the world runs now, just say that that didn't happen. That's all I've got to do. I've got to just say with authority, I don't want to. No, I came up with it. Listen back to it if you want. And by when you're checking it, I won't be there.
Oh, okay.
No one can pull me up. So I just go, that's how you get out of these questions.
Okay.
Just go, no, I didn't say that. Talk. No, I'm not selling the NHS. Bye. I genuinely mean that, though. When I saw the post on that, I was like, oh, that looks really cool.
Thanks.
I like that, you know. So it's, I wish you the best of luck with it. And
Thank you.
But it sounds like you're all right.
Yeah, we're having a great time.
You know, it sounds like it's, I mean, almost unnecessary, this interview.
I'm so glad I came.
Maybe you're only next door, so we've made enough to walk far.
Are you selling all well in that?
Yeah, it's going well. We've got a few dates selling out, so if you want to come, get booked up as soon as you can.
It's pointless, isn't it?
We'll go to pleasance.co.uk if you want to get tickets.
I'm already selling really well. So just
selling well. But we could always
essentially walk,
come down to a matinee at 3 p.m. on a Saturday.
Yeah, if you like.
Nice.
Do that.
It's just coming here to just show off.
Yeah, that's my job.
Exactly.
You bloody asked us to come.
That's what all drag queens say. That's not what I meant.
Right. That's what your eyes said.
It's my job to show off. It's my job to show off is what I meant. Oh, guys.
Dig yourself out of that one.
Fucking minefield every single time, innit? Ginger Johnson, thanks ever so much.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, sorry, my mistake. Hang on a sec. Just going to stop that for a second because I wanted to play.
Please, God, no, I'm leaving now.
Hang on a second. Yeah, okay, there we go. Lovely interview with Ginger Johnson there. And it's now time to enjoy soothing tones of Jar Wobble and Bill Laswell with Fanfare for Phenomena. 5:50. Better come in, it's just ability to
jump off the resurrection tattooed below his eye. His mother cries, she knows that he is strong enough to die. He's rolling in the Cadillac, his midnight sunroof is down. Three shots right out of here, I'm dead. The new king is crowned.
Black or white shoes, play and killer.
Yeah, the poison time bomb.
Of course, John Wobble with Fanfare for Phenomena.
Wasn't it? Was Rancid.
As far as I'm concerned, every song from now onwards.
Okay, fine.
For the rest of my life.
Let's go with that.
It's Fanfare for Phenomena.
Okay,
I'm going to ask John Wobble what that even means.
I think he's next door. He can prepare his answer.
Right. Well, Jar, if you're listening to this next door, then just let me know what that means. We're joined now, predictably. On this penultimate
time of
show of the year, where once again Dan Schreiber and James Harkin are hawking their compilation book, pays for the kids to go through school every year, year in, year out. The book of the year, 2019, this time it's called By No Such Thing as a Fish. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
How are we?
Very good. Good.
Looking well.
Thank you.
Forgive me for 1 second, James. Dan. Do you check your voicemails?
No.
Oh, well, that's why then. That explains
no.
Everything.
Who says no to that question?
He doesn't even check his WhatsApps.
Yeah, I don't check anything these days.
Left you a voicemail last week.
Did you?
Yes, I did. Yes.
Oh, I look forward to getting it.
What? The only delay?
Well, there's a big backlog now that
well,
I've got to get through.
I actually saw. I didn't because I rang you impulsively. It wasn't a sex thing.
Okay.
But I rang you impulsively, and then I saw on Twitter that you were abroad.
Right.
And I thought, oh, maybe he's just not got it.
Yeah, we've just been in Vienna. So
yeah, but that's not
well,
really
I,
an excuse.
Well, I was at home.
Yeah. Oh, no, we had to go for this big podcast award we got given. Yeah, but I'm sure...
Oh, it might not have been that, though. It might have been the week before when we were in New York playing a sellout show.
We did a sellout show in New York. It could have been that. Was it that?
It could have been. I'm not sure.
When did you leave the message?
I think it was Wednesday, I think.
Wednesday.
Oh, no, actually, you were in the UK then.
I was in the UK, I had nothing on.
There's no excuse.
That was Dan Schreiber and James Harkin. And now it's time for Jar Wobble and Bill Laswell with Fanfare for Phenomena. Let all that negativity just fade away as we listen to Jar Wobble and Bill Laswell. Fanfare for Phenomena. Fine, I'll do your fucking interview.
So why did you call?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. There'd have been a quicker way of having this conversation, wouldn't there, if you just called me back. I called you because I contacted them record people that you tell me about.
Oh, yes, Alcopop.
Didn't reply.
You're kidding.
Nope.
They probably, well, actually, their number...
No, they don't check the voicemails, do they?
I'm their secretary, actually.
Is this, you're from the same school? You've all been, like, the Bullenden Club or something?
Yeah.
You've all been brought up, so no, I don't. Never replied to the working class. Yeah, no, I emailed, I want to say Kevin, but that might have been right.
Yeah.
Kevin. Okay, I emailed Kevin.
Nothing about
doing the vinyl for the Parapod movie.
Oh,
soundtrack.
Okay, well, I'll do an email between
just
the
group.
Just say
I'm, like, I'm
us.
Real.
Yeah, just say that's a real voice from a real person on that voicemail.
Do you think maybe you don't know how to use voicemails? I'm just
that
wondering.
No, that was an email.
Oh, is it? Okay.
I wrote an actual email with typing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, they're awesome. They'd love you. I'll definitely get them to talk to you.
Well, so they're not talking to me at the moment. At the moment, I feel like I should just, like, avoid them because unless I have through a contact.
Yeah.
Like
so you emailed them, what, last week?
Should I get the email up?
Well, it's just it's just I told you them about them last year.
That is genuinely true. But I didn't have a soundtrack then.
Oh, this is for the Parapod
movie. Yeah.
Cool.
So I've now got the soundtrack. So I don't want to go, would you be interested in releasing this? Yeah, sure, send some tracks over. And then me, like, panic and do it on a recorder.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? So I emailed them. It was only last week I did it.
Cool.
I'm a bit behind times, really.
Nice, okay.
I'm on track, though. But we'll talk about your book.
Well, it's,
is it just the same as last year?
Yeah, but it's not a compilation. You said it's a compilation. We write the thing.
Yeah, but it's a compilation of your writing.
No, it's a compilation.
That's every book.
We started from scratch. Yeah.
Wow. You two have got more cunty by the year.
We were just hiding it well for the first 2 years.
You're like proper like, oh let's be it. Oh, relate a parable. And then you come in with, oh, we were in New York, sold out, we got an award, and fucking we write our fucking book, fat get. What's that all about? Just try and remember where you came from.
I don't think that record label's going to reply to you at all now. Yeah. Dan's going to make sure of that.
I'm not sending that fucking email anyway.
I can't do networking. I'm really rubbish at it.
No, that was good. I liked that.
So what's your year been? What's happened this year with you? Because like, it's still going.
Yeah, we're still doing the podcast every week, right? But
yeah.
We've done a lot of touring and writing the book, and that's pretty much it.
That's mainly it, but it was more touring this year, I think, than we've ever done.
And is that a viable thing for you to do? Well, obviously it must be, but is that working as a business model, if you like, without being a wanker, you know?
Yeah, it kind of works sometimes, and then occasionally we lose tens of thousands of pounds.
Like America, it doesn't work because everything is visas and the travel. Like you go knowing you're going to lose money, basically.
Okay, so is it just a presence thing then? Are you just
it's checking it out, see whether it's worth then going back. I think it's that initial going there. It's all the costs of visas, but once you have that visa, that lasts a year or so.
Got you, okay.
So you kind of have to go back if you want to make the money back.
And the UK is good, you know, we're okay for that, and Europe as well.
So UK-wise then, so because I find it interesting with podcasts, because it is a global thing by its design.
Yeah.
But what I find interesting about it is that invariably, whatever country you originate from is the country you're biggest in.
Yeah.
But it's got nothing to do... Do you know what I mean? It's not. Yeah. It isn't released just in this country.
It's weird,
everywhere.
Isn't it? Yeah, it's so
why
weird.
So why is where you're from the place that you were always biggest in?
Don't know. I mean, because sometimes in
put
music, it's the
year,
opposite,
it
right?
2021. Say that I pointed that out. And put me in brackets on the front cover. It is totally that. Yeah, music's a good thing.
Like bands, and I know I'm a buddy of Tim Wheeler's from Ash, and in Japan, they still go there to these ginormous shows. And every time they release an album, I think album sales-wise, that's where...
But that's actually biggest... the opposite of what we're saying. Like, you would think he'd be massive in
that's
Northern
what he
Ireland,
said.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. In music, it's the one...
What we said... No, I'm sorry, I'll deal with it. No, what we said, if you were listening, what we said was... Dan actually said very clearly, that's quite the opposite of music. And then a few minutes later, you tried to pass that observation as your own.
I actually think it's quite similar to music, because I like bands from the north of England.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. But you're not their entire fan base, though.
No, you're right. I mean...
But you listen to a lot of J-pop.
I do.
Yeah, that's all James listens to on tour, is you just hear
Japanese pop.
Is that true?
It's true at the moment. That's what I mostly listen to, yeah.
For why?
Well, I was in Japan and just heard a lot of it and just really got into it.
Even just explaining something straightforward is passive aggressive. Passive aggressive and boastful. That's the overall trend.
I've been in Japan a lot, so I got to.
Why? Because I've been in Japan. Why? Have you never been? I've not actually, no. No,
no.
I'm
it's great. You should go.
Yeah, I wish I could afford it.
Music's great.
Get that soundtrack album out.
I wouldn't have had you down as being a J-pop fan.
I really like pop music. Really, I used to be massively into Steps. I used to know all the dances and stuff. And yeah.
And you listen mainly to number ones, don't you? Or like you like to. You like to keep on top of...
I listen to every number one. Yeah. I have a soundtrack of all the number ones in history.
For what reason?
Well, kind of half because I like to... I'm kind of into quizzing, so I want to know everything as well. But also because I think if it's really popular, it must be quite good. Right.
Well, it's got to have something to it, hasn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Nothing's popular that doesn't have something to it.
And I think people can be really snobbish about pop music, but I think a really good pop song is can be really good.
Yeah.
You know, can be really technically good.
But you did mention Steps.
Yeah.
Well, no, don't knock Steps.
I was really into Steps when I was at uni. Like, I had a little sister who was like 5 or 6 years old at the time, and so she was into them, and so I just got into them as well.
Do you want a beach ball signed by Steps?
Genuinely.
We've got one next door.
What?
I mean...
It's been here for years.
Do you actually?
No,
yeah,
no
we
lie.
Do. We do.
There was a beach ball next door, signed by Steps.
And what is the one that H...
And nobody knows where it came from.
I don't know why it's here. It's been here for years.
We've got no clue.
That is... Well, I mean, yes, I genuinely do, but I don't want to take it off you.
Can you get the beach ball?
Take
it off was like we're going, well, thanks for coming in. We don't really want to part with it.
I don't think I've ever seen James so excited. He's shaking.
I'm genuinely happy.
I think he's going to cry.
Do you know that I've met 4 out of 5 Steps?
Have you? Which one have you missed, Lee?
H.
Oh, H.
No,
really?
H, really?
Oh, yeah.
Have you tried to meet H?
He's in jail now, isn't he, of course?
No. Jesus.
Have I got the wrong person?
You've got the wrong guy. One, yeah. The wrong guy. It's not him. He had to tweet about it.
I did that on Twitter for years.
Yeah, no. he had to do that too, didn't he, just to clear it all up too?
No, I met them when they reformed. I was doing a womp on some show that they were on, and I met them. Oh. They had 3 of them on, and I met another one independently.
Are they really, really nice? Sorry,
they were lovely, yeah.
Were they?
Yeah, I think you'd have to be, wouldn't you?
I think so. Last time we were on this, or the time before, you were going to have someone from S Club 7 on the show.
We did, Hannah Spirit.
Yeah,
she did. She did come on, didn't she?
Did she? Because she was suddenly very pregnant. Or
she was. She had that for. Well, you did the synopsis, the film about a ghost dog, was it?
That's right.
Yeah. Oh yeah. iDog.
iDog.
I think it was called. Was it something like that?
Something like that.
She got knocked up in the first hour, and then by the time she was due to do her interview, she was very pregnant.
She's very pregnant.
Very pregnant.
Yeah, I remember that.
Still was pregnant when you spoke to her, actually.
Was she?
Slightly less pregnant. I think
that can happen.
She was nice.
Yeah.
Cool.
She was nice, but I think I was still giddy from her interview when I spoke to her.
Yeah.
And then
you
want to
hear that they're assholes, don't you? Really?
Yeah. What, people like Steps?
I think
they just, but they can't be. They never are. Yeah. I'd say it semi-facetiously, but you kind of can't be if you're in a populist thing.
Yeah.
You know, if you're very popular, you can't be a prick because you'll upset the wrong person at some point. I think so. It's I think generally speaking, most famous people are actually quite nice people when you meet them. But I actually find the less credible they are, the nicer they are in real life.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Definitely. I think I've always found the other way around, actually.
When I've met people who would have been not as credible as other people.
Well, by credible...
Well, I don't want to start naming names.
No, I don't mean names. I mean professions. So reality people I've met have been less...
I'd say
nice than someone
comedians. Certainly.
Okay.
Well, got to say, high compliment to call us arseholes earlier then.
Yes. I think you're
very honoured.
I think you're a proper couple of dicks.
Thank you so much.
And I don't know why we can't get the other two on 1 year. Why it's just these two keep coming back.
Know.
It's almost like they're outside doing shadow boxing before they come in. And they go, right, I'm ready. Right, you say we've been Japan. I'll say we've been New York. And then both mention the award.
The award that you got in Vienna. What
award did you get?
We won the Hans Oberhommer Award for Science Communication, and the trophy was a jar of alpaca poo.
What?
Yeah, he has an alpaca. He passed away, so this is a memorial thing. And
what a lovely tribute!
Yeah, so we each got a little jar of poo.
Chunked up here. How did you take it by surprise? How emotional that got me then. So he died, and then they did an award that's just a pile of shit.
Yes.
So did you get,
he was part of a big sort of science collective, wasn't he?
Yeah,
a bit like Spoken Nerd, that kind of thing.
Okay.
And when he died, they sort of set up this thing for science communication, and for some reason, we won it.
Yeah.
Why did you win it?
Not really sure.
We don't know.
Was that your speech?
Yeah. they said that they like when we do science facts that we explain things well, but you know, it's not the only thing we do.
No. So. It was really cool, though. We flew over and the British ambassador... What?
We don't just do science. I don't know if you heard.
Is there a video of your speech? Because I fucking love that. Everyone clapping you up and going, thanks. This isn't what we do, really.
Oh, my God.
Well, we do a lot more than this, really. Go on, sorry, Mom.
No, we did it. Our speech effectively was a podcast. We did an hour-long podcast as our acceptance speech. It was cool. We arrived there and we got given a reception in Vienna at the British Embassy